I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A. KUMD Homegrown Week is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. And we are welcoming an artist who is new to our studios. Not new to Homegrown, though. I guess she's played once before. Christine Hoberg. Welcome, Christine.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And you are a Superior, Wisconsin native, right?
Yes.
And you said you told me you played, but you haven't lived here in a while. I don't know how long it's been.
Originally, about probably 9 years ago now.
Okay.
Gone. Yep.
And you're in Brooklyn, New York now. But you said you have played one other Homegrown before. When was that? Do you remember?
2 or 3 years ago now, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it must have been fun because you're back.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Well, we're excited to have you, and you do something that's a little bit different than some of the other artists that we've had in this week. And I've heard your music described as chant soul pop, sort of, which is you do some interesting stuff, and we'll talk more about that. But you perform tonight at 7 at the Red Mug Coffee House in Superior, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, let's get a taste of what you do. What do you want to start with here?
I'm starting with a song called Jay.
Thank you. That is Christine Hoberg live from Studio A. And you got a little, what is that over, a Korg you got over there?
Mm-hmm.
Synthesizer?
Like a Korg synth. Yeah.
That's kind of retro, isn't it? I don't know a lot about that kind of stuff, but that's pretty.
Yeah, I think so. It's really nice because you can kind of play with the attack and the release on it. So you can kind of turn it into a drum, or you can have it be an organ, or you can have it be a bass. It's mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an awesome, it's fun.
And as part of your bio, it says that you first started making music, but you were playing with a karaoke machine and kind of doing some stuff. Tell me about that and how that kind of developed into what you do now. And was there any particular music that inspired you to start doing that? And just, you're pretty young, I think, right?
Not so young. Oh, okay. 28, but yeah. Oh, on the mic more. Yep. When
you started doing that, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
You were pretty young when you started.
Well, I think my dad taught me how to put the tape over the cassette tape when I was little that you could record off the radio. I kind of utilized that so that I could record onto like an old Celine Dion tape or something like that. And then kind of was the beginning of kind of what I'm doing now, because I could bounce from track to track and kind of have all these little ideas. I would make like the bass and the instrument with my mouth, because I didn't really pick up guitar and piano until later, like high school and then college, or the college age, I guess. So I guess I just was playing around and wanted to be able to capture ideas better, and it was.
I think it's kind of fun how it kind of mirrors what you're doing now, you know, much more sophisticated version now. But yeah, like it's kind of that original thing. It seems like you're doing the layering and the different things. You have a wonderful voice, and your voice is such an important part of what you do. You released an album last year. What was the name of that again?
World Within.
World Within.
Yep.
And a lot of a cappella stuff on there, which isn't just... And I don't mean just you just singing one thing, but you are, as you did on this song here, you kind of back yourself up with different loops and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So how long have you been singing?
Since coming out of the womb, I guess. I've always loved music. Music has always been the main way that I express myself, and voice was that for me. I was always singing. I'm one of five kids, but I was like the most annoying, like singing all day long. And it's always just been the natural, and it's like the happiest that I'm ever when I'm making music and singing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful.
Yeah.
But then you said you started adding instruments in a little bit in high school.
Yeah. I guess just to, you know, keep challenging myself and to keep trying to figure out different ways to develop. So I picked up guitar in high school and started to play around with piano as I got older, though I really didn't know what I was doing, but just kind of stringing stuff together and trying to learn along the way.
Mm-hmm. And so you moved out to Brooklyn. When did that happen?
Well, I left this area first, like I said, about 9 years ago. I was in Michigan for a bit and Canada. And then New York was about 6 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was that like when you first got there and you know, you went there to pursue music? Is that what the main reason? Or
It's very hippy-dippy, but I kind of went there because I had a gut instinct that I should be there. I kind of imagined that I was going to hate it, but I thought maybe it was supposed to be some challenge in my life's journey or something. But I arrived. I was like broke. I took the bus in and I only had 3 pieces of luggage with me.
A classic American story, you know, going to New York with nothing.
And it felt so right. Like it was kind of just like some higher power. It was like this was supposed to be some form of development for me. I was supposed to be there. And it was really actually a very seamless and easy transition. I got to work and I had a show in 3 weeks and met a lot of great people and was able to learn a lot from them and develop a lot through my time there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you've done a lot of your own stuff and you do a lot of collaborations, it sounds like.
Yep. Yeah, I do. It's fun for me to get out of my own headspace, and I'm realizing how important that is to kind of see music. It helps me grow a lot to see music from other people's perspective, because just like anything else, you realize how I view music or how I would approach an instrument or my voice is completely different than someone else. So it's always fun to do collaborations so that I can kind of let go of a little bit of the personalness. Not that my songs or my songwriting won't be personal, but, you know, it's not just mine. It's with someone else, and I can kind of move within their world as well. You know, both of us can kind of grow something together, and that's really nice and special.
And then do you think you bring something of that back into what you're doing then?
Yeah, I think all of my collaborations have definitely influenced my growth and my ideas, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about coming up with a piece like you just did. How do you go about creating something? You know, you start with an idea. What do you start with?
Yeah. Especially something like the last song was just like playing around with the synthesizer and getting some chords that I wanted. And then it's really like how I perform it. I just keep layering, and then I get little melodies that I really like. And a lot of it is stream of consciousness too. Like I just, it just comes out. There's other times that, I have just melodies or like warbles of vowels that come out. And then I try to workshop and figure out like what I should be writing about or what I'm trying to say. Yeah, it depends, but mainly kind of just improvising and letting ideas go out and grabbing them, hopefully.
How does that work when you're doing an album and, you know, do you have to capture those improvisations and try to recreate them? Or how does mm-hmm. that work? Or do you just kind of go into the album, you know, open and some of that stuff is improvised? I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
For you.
Well, my songs develop so much also from the interaction with performing them live. So by the time that I was trying to record this last album, it was almost like I just really wanted to get that sound out there. My other stuff had been a little more a backing band, and some of them have changed even still. Like some of the songs on that album have continued to change, and I've accepted that. But I really wanted to be able to capture that sound as a representation, and almost so that I get permission with myself to move forward and to start working on other stuff. I find working in studios is actually really hard because a lot of my stuff is very like me sitting by myself and kind of growing, and it's different when you have the money and the time and the clock going. So a majority of the last album was recorded with friends. So the presence of like their presence does affect how natural or improvised it is, but it's a little less stuffy or stale than I feel if I did the whole thing in a studio album, a mm-hmm. studio. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. So how many albums of your own have you done?
I should know that. I think 5.
And you've done some, we mentioned collaborations. You had a song that's been huge in Australia, it sounds like, mm-hmm. with Australian producer duo Flight Facilities, a song mm-hmm. called Claire de Lune. Tell me about that one and what that means to have a big song in Australia.
It's really, you know, it's really surreal, and it kind of doesn't touch my day-to-day life in a lot of ways. I think everybody, well, especially when you're younger, you think there's going to be a point in time that you feel like you've made it or something. I definitely don't feel like that at all in general. But, you know, the fact that that people kind of post my lyrics now, or that people are excited about, or that this thing has done something, moved a lot of people, it's really special. But it's also, it never really kind of sets in. It's just like, well, thanks so much. And then I can't really comprehend it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's of course special. It's very special that, you know, something that you believed in, other people are mm-hmm. moved by. That's really nice.
Have you been down to Australia?
I haven't.
Oh, okay.
Maybe at some point.
Yeah. And you mentioned your lyrics, and you know, you don't write traditional verse, chorus, verse stuff, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And so, how do lyrics work for you? Like, are they something you really work at? Are they more stream of consciousness, or how, mm-hmm. where do they fit into what you do?
Yeah. Well, it does depend. They're probably actually the thing that I struggle the most with in some senses, because if they don't come out right away, like there are some songs that the entire whatever you want to call it, arrangement, verse, chorus, if I'm doing that, comes directly out with the lyrics and the entire song is there, and then I arrange music behind it. But there definitely are other times, like I'm actually working on a new thing I'm going to release soon, a new EP, and I really feel attached and connected to the melodies that I have, but there haven't been a lot of, there have only been little spots of lyrics, and I've been really trying to work them to like to have something powerful and new and better than anything I've written before. And so that is something that I think is, that's probably the most challenging part to me, to make sure that I'm happy at the end with something that is honest and moves people and is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's hear another song and then we'll come back and chat a little more.
Sounds good.
What's next?
The song is Tell Me What You See When You Close Your Eyes.
That is Christine Holmberg live from Studio A. And what was the name of that one?
It's going to be on the next release, so I'm still workshopping the name, but like, tell me what you see.
Oh,
essentially.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. You said that already. That's right. And that's the EP that you're talking about that you're planning on in the near future. So how are you approaching that one as opposed to the previous album?
Well, that one in particular is capturing some, like, capturing my very loopy stuff. So it's going to be a cousin and hopefully better recorded and better developed than my last release. I hope to always, you know, develop more. But a cousin in a sense of the last stuff, and that it's very chanty, it's very vocal. And then I'm also working right now on a separate EP. These will both be kind of short EPs. And that one I'm also really excited about. I'm working with some of the producers that I've written for before or have written with in the past. So they're kind of lending themselves to what I'm doing now. Some of my friends that are producers, some female artists that I want to give more light to female producers and female, I guess female producers is a main one because a lot of people think of producers as being male. So just kind of trying to throw all these ideas and let my friends' talent shine and combine it with my stuff. So both of these are little things I'm excited about right now.
Well, tell me about the producing aspect of it, what that means for you and what's involved in that.
For me, production and being a producer can be very open-ended because, you know, there are people that compose completely acoustic music, but there's if whoever is in charge of the sound and the ideas and the construction is the producer. And then these days I know a lot of people consider like an EDM producer, you know, someone that's doing electronic music. For me, it's always been important that everything I do has my stamp on it because a lot of people, because of how I guess I was approached or how I've seen music, or how I've seen the music industry or just being trying to be a professional musician is that if I have males around in any context playing with me or friends or giving ideas, there'll be a kind of quieted assumption that, oh, well, he wrote the guitar part and he wrote this and that's his ideas. And aren't you such a sweet little singer? And so I think that part of me was very like stubborn and strong in that even if I still needed time to develop, I wanted to be able to be a visible producer as a woman. And I know I have a long way to go still with doing that, but I hope that other women will believe that they have a voice and that they can shape not only their own projects, but other projects.
Okay. And that goes not just with the music, but I noticed that you even did like your own video for something.
Yeah.
Do you do a lot of that kind of stuff or was that?
That was totally just, I tried to do it on my own. Like I just, a lot of these songs are very visual for me as well. So I wanted to be able to capture something that was hopefully beautiful and, lent another level of connection with my music. And I love working with different mediums and different people that can lend their talents or hopefully collaborate with me on stuff like that. But it was also really fun to do it on my own. You know, it's kind of like when you take a picture or something yourself, you see exactly what you want to capture and you try to hopefully put out exactly what you saw. So that was special in that I think I did that for myself, but it's also really great to collaborate with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in something that you said in there that your music is very visual for you. Mm-hmm. So does that mean like when you're creating something, you're seeing something in your head that goes along with it? Is that what that means?
In a sense, or that music has always been kind of like a soundtrack inside of me. Anywhere that I go, I'm thinking of a song or I have a song in my head, which, you know, is probably common, but music has always kind of, just been with me and been with my memories and with my visuals. So, not that necessarily, concrete ideas or concrete visuals are there every time with each song, but just that, you know, certain like colors or certain feelings and images will kind of float in and out as I'm making something or especially once it feels kind of done, it kind of feels, yeah, it kind of feels like a short movie to me in a sense, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So what's your musical life in Brooklyn like now? Are there places, a lot of places in New York that you play, and is there kind of a regular scene for what you do? I suppose there's a scene for everything there.
Yeah.
That'd be my imagination.
Yeah, I'm grateful that I've become close with some really great venues that are supportive and that the crowds are supportive of what I'm doing. And yeah, it is great. I mean, every area has their pros and cons, but it is great that in New York, you get exposed to a lot of stuff. And I've definitely seen a lot of people perform and been like, I'll never think about music the same way after that. Yeah, it is a great place in that sense. The city is also changing a lot. Some of my other favorite venues have had to close down because everything changes all the time and it's getting more expensive and all kinds of little things. But other places pop up, and I don't know, kind of maybe the intensity of it is what makes you kind of have to develop and have to get more creative, because someone else will be doing something that sounds like you, and they're probably going to be the ones that will go on tour with it. So you should come up with a better idea, hopefully, and explore that.
Mm-hmm. It seems like you really enjoy challenging yourself, and you've used the word grow a lot. So it just seems like that's something you really actively are pursuing with your music.
Yeah, I think so. And I think as a human being too, why not? I have one life. I hope that I'll develop and become a more wise and wise person, better musician.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear one more. What do you want to wrap up with here?
This song is also going to be on one of the EPs. It's called New in the Morning.
Oh,
That's Christine Hoberg live from Studio A. And she's going to be playing tonight for the Homegrown Music Festival at the Red Mug Coffee House in Superior. It is Soup Town night, so appropriate that the Superior native is going to be playing. And so when you're on stage tonight, is there going to be is it going to be different than what you're doing here now? Do you have more? I'm just wondering if you're doing something stripped down for the radio or, if the, you know. The, because I love that you just have the one keyboard, and it's actually a very manageable one. You know, you don't have like this huge thing to tote around like some poor keyboard players.
No, this will more or less be my setup. Of course, it's always different in different settings. But yeah, it'll more or less be this.
Well, this was lovely.
Oh, thanks so
and
much.
The looping is beautiful, and the way you use your voice is just wonderful. So really a pleasure to have you here, Christine.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Aaron Welch. KUMD Homegrown Week is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or listen to previous sessions, find the Live from Studio A page under programs at KUMD.org.